My dance pants. With the music and get tricky, get tricky. Get tricky, get tricky. Have something of fun, get tricky.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Eastminster Students Podcast. This is another episode of Messages from the Bunker. Matt and I are around our basement ping pong table bringing you another podcast.
By our, you mean your. We're at your house.
We're at my house. It's actually not even my ping pong table. I am borrowing it from
You're leasing it.
I'm leasing it, yes. Matt, how have you been the last week?
This last week has been challenging, but I'm here and I am alive, so that's good. But good. It definitely has been a hard week for a few different reasons. My youngest son got sick, which involved throwing up in our bed and running a high fever. So we were a little bit nervous. Turns out I think it was just about a food poisoning or some kind of stomach bug. He got better within 24 hours, but it's not fun people get sick, especially right now.
Yeah. So, kind of scary.
It is a little scary. So it's been a bit of a challenging week, and you know, just trying to find a rhythm has been a bit of a challenge. But
sure,
yeah. How about you?
It's been good. I mean, good. All things considered, I've been working on a project, building a bed for my son. He's been sleeping on a mattress on the floor for a little bit too long now.
Nice. So I'm
building a bed in my downtime. Had a really good Wednesday night Zoom gathering. I'll talk a little bit about that later. But yeah, I'm hanging in.
Good.
Hanging in. So on this episode, Matt and I were going to share, a few thoughts about the coronavirus and ministry and actually a few challenges as we think about what it means to be a Christian in the immediate future, but maybe even more further into the future. What is this going to do with our, with the state of the world? Thought we'd maybe have a little bit of story time. Matt, you've got any good stories that you could share today?
What kind of story?
I don't know. Think about it. And then I was going to share about our middle school youth group, share a prayer that we created. So that's what we got. Matt?
Yeah.
How do you want to start?
I don't know.
All right. Well, after those sounds, you know what comes next. It's story time.
Story time.
We need to have what do they call those? A sharp? No, a spank? What is it? No, there's a word.
No.
A thread.
No. A chime?
A thistle. No, there's a word. A sting.
A sting.
It's called a sting, yeah. Not a spank.
Close.
I'm going to make... Dang it. Okay, so, Matt.
Yeah.
Story time.
Yeah. Give me a prompt.
Okay. What is a story of, what is a ministry... Something that happened in ministry, a flop.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any flops?
What can I share on the podcast? I have a few. One in particular was...
Choose your best one. Or choose one.
I'll choose one.
Yeah.
I think back to when I was still in college at the time. I was directing a middle school summer camp week. And I remember it was...
At Eastminster.
No, this was actually Northern Pines.
This is pre... Okay,
yeah, so I'm still in college at this point.
So this did not happen when you were employed at Eastminster Presbyterian Church of Wichita, Kansas. Okay.
Just know that before emails go to Pastor Stan, this happened before Eastminster. But
and you learned.
I learned my lesson.
Yeah.
I repented.
Yes.
And will never happen again, maybe. Okay, so here's what happened. It was the end of the week. We had been building up this story with the middle schoolers, about 40 to 60 middle schoolers, just sort of like every night we tell little bits of a story about these children. Because understand, at the center of this camp, there are these brass children that are holding hands in a circle. It's like they're playing Ring Around the Rosie or something.
Like, I mean...
like statues.
Statues. Like, how big are we talking?
We're talking like life size, like size of actual children.
Yes.
It's really kind of creepy.
Okay.
But they're in the middle of the camp and you kind of walk by them and people congregate around there. And well, the interesting thing about the circle was that it looks as if there's one person missing from the circle. And so we took that as sort of a way to tell a story about the brass children who come alive at night and eat campers. So, sorry, you know, it was probably not a good story, but anyway, I'm telling this to these middle schoolers. It's the last night of camp, and we've been building it up all week about these brass children who the story.
Now, wait, hold on. Are the students buying this? I mean, middle schoolers,
yeah,
they're smart.
They are, and it's kind of a, this isn't real, but then it kind of got real. So here's what went down.
Okay.
So the whole backstory was that one of the children was, you know, kind of the evil one, and so mm-hmm. they sort of kicked him out of the group and bullied him. And so this was the child who would go out around and was, you know, eating the camper. So what we did was we took one of our counselors, my good friend Zach Yarbrough, and we spray painted his body gold. And then he hit in the wood with a pan and a fork. Because the whole conceit of the story was that at night, if you listen carefully, you might be able to hear the tink, tink,
oh my
tink
goodness.
Of his feet on the ground as he walks. And so Zach is hiding in the woods.
I've heard of this story. I don't remember all the details.
Oh, yeah.
I can keep going.
He's hiding in the woods with a pan and a fork. And we're telling the story about the brass children. And I remember my good friend Austin.
So this is end of camp. Kids are exhausted.
They're tired.
Hooked in. This is late at night.
It's around a bonfire. And the fire's so bright that you can't see in the woods
surrounding you.
And so my friend Austin's telling the story. And Austin's a great storyteller. He's got them on the edge of their seat. And he says, if you listen really closely, you can hear the brass children walking, tink, tink, tink. And at that time, Zach starts banging the pan slowly.
Oh, my goodness.
And then he starts slowly to emerge. You can see the kids looking around. We shine a light on Zach's gold face, and the kids just lost it. They sprint. Everyone jumped up and sprinted out of there as fast as they could. And we weren't planning for that. We had no idea how they were going to react. And the worst part about the whole thing is a kid had an asthma attack.
Oh, my
gosh. So as they're running away, this one kid is having an asthma attack. His older brother, luckily, was a like stud athlete who picked him up and carried him all the way back to where his parents were to get his inhaler. And needless to say, we had some explaining to do. And I never told that story again.
That is amazing.
Yeah. So that was my biggest ministry flop. I'd say I learned after that time, but we may have had a few other experiences. Maybe we'll share those another time, but... scary stories, they can have consequences. So
yeah,
I try
brilliant.
To tone them down over the years.
Yeah. Well, that was good.
Yeah.
That was good.
I don't know how we transition from
that. Yeah, how do you transition from that? Speaking about pans, let's talk about the virus.
Let's talk about the pandemic.
Okay, that was...
Yeah, what were you trying to go for?
I didn't make that connection. I was simply making two things that were completely unrelated.
Okay.
But you took it to the next level.
Mike, how are you, like... what have been your emotions? How are you processing this last week?
Yeah, I'm finding... So, for the first few weeks, I was, like, obsessive about... checking the updates mm-hmm. of the news. Like, I wanted to know how many cases in US, in the world, in Kansas, in Sedgwick County. I find that has lessened. And I don't know if I've kind of like, if that means I'm like, moved on. Mm-hmm. The coronavirus is here and it's not going away and it's going to keep growing. Or if I just realized, I think there's part of it, realized it wasn't super helpful.
Yeah.
I think it's wise to be in the know and
right.
to like be up to date on the information about how to best protect ourselves, how to best live, to follow the guidelines. But I think there becomes an unhealthy fascination, which I think you shared a little bit about mm-hmm. being a little fascinated about. So I think by scaling it back a little bit, it's been helpful for me not to be too drawn in and to just kind of focus on the present of like, all right, I'm home
yeah.
With my family. I'm still working, and we're working remotely with the church. I'm still, a dad and husband, and just saying, what is God calling me to today?
Yeah.
That's been, I think, good for me. So I'm doing okay. What about you?
Yeah. I mean, I have the kind of personality that has a hard time not knowing. And so I admittedly probably have been on the news too much. I like to read everything I can and know what's going on and what countries are getting hit and everything. So that's been probably not great for my mental health. In fact, yesterday I kind of went through a few hours where I just felt depressed. Like I was just feeling really down. And one of the interesting things is I've been reading through the book of Ecclesiastes, which, if you're familiar with it, the author is wrestling with sort of what it means to be human, what it means to be on this earth. He talks often about how there's a time for laughter, there's a time for partying, there's a time for enjoying food and drink, and then there's a time to grieve and a time to cry and a time when we all die. Like there's actually a whole chapter devoted to him wrestling with like the philosophical reality of death.
Mm.
And so to me, it's like, okay, all this stuff is happening around us. We have now surpassed, the amount of deaths, that we had with 9/11, that we had, and all these other things that we've experienced in our lifetime. Like this is going to be a lot of things that are going to be really difficult. And even if you watch the national press conference, Donald Trump said that these next few weeks are going to be really, really hard. And with that is going to come a lot of moments, I think, where we see all the loss around us and we have to face it. And I think the temptation can be in these times is instead of actually experiencing the pain of grief and loss, we instead choose to numb it with whether that be getting on social media, scrolling TikTok or Instagram, or basically turning our brains off and not allowing them to experience negative emotions. When if you look at the scriptures, I mean, the Bible is full of, there's a whole book devoted to lament, right? The book of Lamentations, it's a crying out because their families have been killed. There's many characters in the scriptures who experience grief and sadness. Jesus himself weeps in the garden. We see he weeps over his friend dying. Like this, when Jesus said to deny yourself, he wasn't saying to shut off your emotions.
To repress your emotions.
Repress your emotions.
Right.
I think that that's something that we need to continue to put in front of us as we go through this. That like, we're going to have bad days,
Yeah.
There are going to be
days. Give yourself grace a little
bit. Yeah, there are going to be days where we feel things that we haven't felt before.
Right.
We experience grief because life as we know it is different. A lot of you students are not able to experience prom, graduation for seniors, your spring sports that you were looking forward to.
Yep.
Just not having the rest of the school year is a loss.
I mean, I think we talked about this, but I feel the loss of not going on my vacation that was planned.
I know.
I mean, like that's, it sounds
and I even think
small,
about,
but
like things like the senior banquet. Like I planned to do those things in the future, but still it's really difficult. And I don't think it's fully hit us yet because this isn't like we say, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Happening. Yeah.
And let me say this too, the tail end of it. In these next couple of weeks, when the numbers are going to spike in New York and you're going to see a lot of stuff on the news and it's going to be probably a hard time. If you're struggling, and you may have some symptoms of depression, meaning you're feeling very, very down. You're having trouble with maybe losing your appetite or you're sleeping all day and you just feel like you're in despair. Please, if that's you or someone you know, reach out for help.
Yeah.
Whether that means telling your parents, whether that means reaching out to one of us, your small group leader. We don't want you to go through this alone. And I think now more than ever, community is important, even though we can't be there in person.
Yeah. I think that's such an important word for all of our, this is for students, this is for parents.
Yep.
Is there someone that you are processing these things with? I mean, I feel like sometimes we Christians especially can fall into this trap of we need to be happy in the face of these tough situations. We need to be the one who always looks on the bright side or is the eternal optimist. And I think that there is a difference. There's a difference in hope, or a difference between hope and optimism, right? And it is not healthy or wise to repress these things, or to not discuss these things, or to not bring these about with people. And so one of the probably the most practical questions I would ask students, parents, is there somebody that you're processing this with?
Yeah.
Is there a friend? Not just turning your brains off with Netflix,
right,
or, you know, social media, but one they say, hey, I know it's been a little crazy. How are you doing? Like, how are you processing these things? How, you know, like, I heard that your graduation is canceled. Like, how do you feel about that? And I think those conversations need to be taking place. And sometimes it's okay if you're the one who's, you know, listening, you don't have to have an answer, or you don't have to say, well, at least this, or well, at least this.
You don't need to find a silver lining in every negative thing.
You know, Job's friends get a lot of hate because they, you know, or a lot of flack because they weren't great. But the one good thing they did is they there's like a little passage like, they saw Job's pain and they sat with him and didn't say anything, because that was the only thing they could do. And sometimes we need to have those people now.
For sure. So I've been meeting, you know, one of the, I know we're not, we just said don't look for a silver lining and everything, but one positive that has come out of this situation is that I've reconnected with some of my best friends from college, and I've actually scheduled a weekly Zoom meeting for every Wednesday. We get together and we chat for an hour, and it's been really good for me to process with others who are in ministry, who are dealing with a lot of the same things, and that's been really, really important for me. One article I read, and I shared it with our staff, that I thought was really good, was by a guy named Andy Crouch. The title of the article is Leading Beyond the Blizzard, Why Every Organization is Now a Startup. And I think, just real quick, what I thought was really interesting about it was his whole point was he said that the coronavirus is not just something for people to get through for a few days. Instead, we need to treat it as an economic and cultural blizzard, winter, and the beginning of a little ice age. And he basically explained that this is going to have ramifications for our world, for what it means to be the church for years to come. I mean, it's going to change so much. And in order to see like how we can innovate and change, he said that the creative potential for hope is probably greater than any time in history. Like this is a time where there's going to be a great, great need. And we have a unique opportunity as people who have hope, as people who believe in the resurrected Christ, people who have hope in the midst of suffering. But he's, one of the really interesting things, and this goes along with what we were talking about, he says, paradoxically, it's a big word, we can only be able to access this creativity if we spend the appropriate amount of time with grief and lament. So if we don't take time to properly like acknowledge everything that's happened, we're not going to be able to fully access that creativity. But out of pain, right, out of suffering, comes some of the most incredible and beautiful creations. Like
every musician's best album,
their best album
after
is like,
the breakup.
Honestly, after the breakup, when they're in a dark place, like, out of pain can come beauty and art. Yeah. And I think that that's why there's such a unique time now for creativity, not just because we have loads of time on our hands, but because we're all experiencing the same thing. And we kind of cheesily throw on the phrase, we're all in this together, but it's true. Like all of us are experiencing this at the same time on different levels, obviously, but it's going to be really interesting to see what comes out of that. And we've actually seen some examples with our students of cool things coming out.
Yeah. I mean, I saw, you know, the other day, a student recorded another student who's an artist. She was, you know, in a field doing this beautiful painting, and they creatively edited the video and posted it for people to see, and it's really, really neat. I've seen photography, I've seen videos. We talk a lot with our students, and we hope to communicate as like the student, you know, ministry directors, that our students are not they're not the future of the church.
Right.
They are the church. Yeah. Like we are connected and we're part of this. And I would maybe be as, you know, bold to say as our students right now, we need the students, we need young people in this time of the church more than ever.
Yep.
Because with us having to go all digital, with us having to go all online, we need this people that have been raised and grown up as digital natives, as ones who understand this. The next great idea for the kingdom is not going to come from like a 50-year-old or even a 30-year-old.
No, you know? I mean, it's probably going to be that's what we see is the next great innovation is always the generation that comes next.
Yeah.
It's never the generation that's in power or in it right now.
Yeah. And so like our students, I would hope that their imaginations, they would start to think that they could have a unique voice of the kingdom that maybe is unlike anything that we have come up with so far. I just think there's going to be so much potential in this, and then especially after it, right? Because you talked about it being like an ice age?
A little ice age.
Yeah.
You know, there was actually a little ice age in Europe, I think in the 1400s, where it legitimately was cold. Like there was a climate issue where it became cold for like 2 years.
Yeah.
Like really cold. And it's kind of be something where it's almost this slow and steady thing that just it's going to affect us for a long time in ways we can't imagine yet. Like we just don't know. And that's part of the struggle, I think, is we just don't fully know what that's going to be like. And so I just think that we play such an important role, and our young people play such an important role in all this. But
sure. One, maybe to finish up my, we've been meeting on Wednesday nights at it's our middle school youth gathering, but it's fun because we get our high school leaders there as well. And this last Wednesday, we got together, and one of the things I wanted to do is to give them a place to speak, you know, their prayers, their thoughts. And so we kind of split them up into groups, and I had them all contribute prayers. And we kind of had a little, you know, we had a method to it. But if you hadn't seen it yet, the students wrote a really, really neat prayer. And in fact, I thought it might be appropriate to finish with this prayer, unless you had anything else that you wanted to throw in.
No.
No? Okay. So this is all from the students. They contributed these prayers, and then we put them, Libby and I put them together. So let us just finish. I'm going to pray this, and then we will call it good until next week. So this is a prayer for the pandemic. God, you are loving, trustworthy, and present. You are good and everlasting. You are all-powerful, all-knowing, almighty. You are a protector. You are our Father, our Creator, and our Healer. Let us not forget how amazing, merciful, and relentless your love is for us. Lord, in this time, we confess that we haven't focused on you. We haven't trusted you, and our patience has grown thin with others. We are gluttonous. We complain and are rebellious. We have lacked prayer and have not loved those around us, especially the ones who are hard to love. We have grown distant and bowed to idols. We repent of doubting you, forgetting your faithfulness, and being selfish, especially when complaining about the virus. God, we are grateful for the technology to communicate with one another, even though we are apart. Thank you for our homes and keeping us safe. Thank you for our family and loved ones. Thank you for friendships that keep us going. Thank you for providing peace and a place to go, and for providing for our needs. Lord, hear our prayers. We ask for strength, healing, focus, and guidance in this uncertain time. We ask for protection and health for the doctors. In faith, we ask for healing for those who are sick, that they will be restored to full health. We pray that students' transition to online school goes smoothly. And Jesus, we ask for your peace. God, may the quarantine end soon so we can be together again. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Thanks for tuning in.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Let me plug just something real quick. I'm starting an Easter Bible reading plan. It's called the Artist Bible Easter Reading Plan. It's got some videos to go along with the devotions, which I'm really excited about. So that'll start tomorrow. We're wrapping up the Scary Close one today. Thank you, everyone. There's about 35 of you who joined me this last week for Scary Close. I'm really excited for this Easter one. It's going to be 8 days, so it actually goes through Easter and then the Monday after Easter. So hope you join me. That'll start tomorrow. You can find the link on our Instagram. There should be a link in the bio, which will take you to a page where you can get an invite if you're not already invited.
Very good. Everything else can be found on our website, Instagram, Facebook. I think that wraps us up.
Grace and peace.
Grace and peace.